Heroes Not Included is a serialized story podcast featuring actual play of Dungeons & Dragons 5th Edition from Wizards of the Coast. Wizards of the Coast own their respective trademarks, copyrights, and related materials. A special thanks to all the great people at Wizards of the Coast for all their hard work creating wonderful games for us to play. Previously on Heroes Not Included.
You will not find Artisimber. I have attempted to scry his whereabouts on several occasions, but have failed in finding him. Artis always had the unique talent of not being able to be found when he didn't want to be.
The King of the Giants is missing and or dead.
We are unsure.
Is missing?
Yeah, which is why all the giants are rampaging, because there's no way to keep him in line.
I am having a party this evening, and if I come across any information, I'll send it to you at the inn. Sirak, you may stay here with me.
This is probably what the Golden Trout wanted.
You open up the scroll, and it says, "To those hunting Hecaton, I send this invitation to the Moon Gleam Tower. Please come to Everland and be my guests. There is much to discuss." And underneath is signed Crowin Valharo.
Heroes Not Included, Season 2.
You see, towering off to the north, over the houses and buildings closer to you, a keep of black stone that seems to rise up into the sky. It consists of four narrow cylindrical towers joined together. Crowning the roof is an open turret where a signaling mirror shaped like a crescent moon stands.
I lean to a walker behind and I say, Is that Moon Gleam Tower?
You see one of the people stop and goes, What? Oh, yes, that right. Is.
Good.
You guys head off in that direction?
Yeah, yes. We've been invited. I say we head right up to it.
All right. As you get closer, you see that it is surrounded by a dry moat. You see a human standing on the bridge over the moat.
I lean over to Eobard and I say, "That's Lord Crowin. That's the guy who invited us, I think."
You think that's the guy?
I don't know. It seems like...
Does he look lordly?
He is wearing some kind of robe.
He looks magic-y.
Do you look magically?
He does.
Yeah, you've heard of him, that's right.
He does look magic-y.
And I know he's Tarami.
Is that a Tarami up there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah, I walk straight up to him.
As you walk up to him, he says, "Good morning."
Lord Valharo, I assume.
Lord Eobard.
And then we do the fist bump of power.
Fist bump of power.
Oppressing the weak is fun, yes.
He says, "I was pleased to hear that you accepted my invitation. If you would come inside, there is much that we need to discuss."
Yeah, I assume he turns and we follow him in, right?
Yep, he turns and he walks inside. And he walks you down a series of halls and then up a spiral staircase until you come to a kind of sunroom or study. And as you were walking through, you noticed that there were a variety of what seemed to be apprentices throughout the place.
Like doing little tasks.
Mm-hmm. And you also happen to see a variety of people coming and going, passing off scrolls to each other. Someone give me a perception check.
1.
What do you got?
21.
Okay.
Kallik, you notice that a few of these individuals are wearing little pins of a silver harp.
I say, ooh, nice silver harp pins.
Yeah, it seems to be a flood of activity coming in and out of the tower and within the tower, people running around doing things. Finally, he comes to the sunroom, this sort of sunroom/study, and he has everybody come in. You see that there are some chairs that have been arranged around a table, and he motions to the chairs, and he walks around and he sits in this large mahogany chair with this huge back. And you see at the top of this back are it looks to be carved out of wood, these two dragon heads, sit up over way up top, over above him.
pleasantly ostentatious.
And then sitting on the top of the chair, you see this cat with wings.
Aspen's face immediately lights up.
And I'm nervous.
Can I make cat sounds at it? Are cats small creatures?
Does it look cat bored?
It looks cat bored, yes.
I make the traditional cat cheer up of greeting.
what is
it? Yeah, what's it sound like?
Oh, I see.
He notices that you've taken an interest, and he says, have you ever seen a Tressum?
Nosum.
I don't think so.
And he says, you may pet her if you'd like.
Does she bite, or...?
And I would say it depends on her mood.
I think I will take my chances over here then, but thank you very much for the offer.
Are you sure?
Make an insight. Does she look like she's in the mood to be pet?
You should hold your hand in front of it.
I mean, it's asking, you're asking, you know, will a cat bite me? Well, I don't know. Sometimes you can be petting a cat and it's purring, and the next thing you know.
No, it won't bite you. It's rolled over. It's shown you its stomach. It obviously wants you to pet it.
Shing! You
fool! Aspen very delicately walks over, mm-hmm. and it's on top of the chair, though?
It's on top of the chair, but its paws are draped down on one side, and its head is kind of laying on one of its paws.
Okay.
And it has its eyes just kind of partly open.
Aspen kind of, like, tentatively reaches over.
Okay.
And kind of pauses for a second.
It opens its eyes up, and it kind of looks at you and sniffs, and it kind of closes its eyes lazily.
I give it a very soft, gentle pet on the head.
It starts purring.
Aspen has sated his curiosity and does not wish to push his luck with a cat that can also fly.
Just the size of
Lord Bahalo says, there are quite a few of them here at the tower if you would like one.
If I would like one?
He says, of course. We have plenty.
Yeah, I mean, if that's all right with the...
I'm sorry. It's a tiny beast.
It's a tiny beast?
Yeah. My bad.
Oh, you can talk to
it. It's so much cuter.
It's literally the size of a house cat, only it has wings.
I totally make cat sounds at it.
Okay.
Well, you can just talk to it, too.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean when I say make cat sounds.
Okay, what are you going to tell it?
I'm going to say, hi.
You want to come on with me?
Yeah, I'm on an adventure, and your owner, your human said that you could come with me if you wanted to.
And it kind of cocks its head and looks at you, and it goes, meow, meow,
meow. Well, make sure you're fed. And, I ride around on Jador most of the time, so you could probably not even have to, like, walk or use your wings or anything if you didn't want to. He's got another shoulder.
Aww.
Jador, are you allergic?
It stands up and stretches.
Oh, Jador, please don't be allergic.
True.
Okay, so here's what we're going to do. Since you can actually speak to tiny beasts... And it appears that you are desirous of one of these. You guys didn't know that this was going to become a traveling menagerie, did you?
No.
It's going to have mastiffs and a cat that flies. And he keeps his own pet Goliath. But, you know, that's Aspen the Gnome for.
Yep. Little pack rat of animals.
I need you to give me a charisma check, and I'll give you advantage on it.
Okay.
And this you want to roll really good.
Really good. I'm just going to use my one die because it knows I love it. So. Okay.
What's the first one?
That's a 10.
Okay.
That's a 13. So that's a 14. That's not going to do it. Oh, I have inspiration.
There you go. Roll again.
That's not going to do it, dice. Come on. Don't you want a kitty? No, it doesn't want a kitty.
The fates have aligned.
The dice have spoken.
You just got a shrug from the winged cat.
It's true.
So, Varharo says,
we have gotten off track.
I can't help it. I'm distracted by kitties.
Varharo says, again, thank you for coming so quickly. You left from Waterdeep, I believe, about a month ago.
It's only been a month.
I could be mistaken, but if I am not, then it has been about a month or two.
It feels much longer.
He says, first, you will be pleased to know that the Harpers, the Lord's Alliance, the Emerald Enclave, the Order of the Gauntlet, and even the Black Network...
all the facts except for the Fae...
...are working across the Sword Coast in attempts to thwart the growing giant menace. He says, I assume by now, in your own travels, that you have discovered that King Hecaton of the Giants is missing.
Yes.
Yes, we have.
He says, this is information that came to me through my sources, and it's information that I don't intend to share with anybody else.
We haven't exactly been quiet about it.
He says, I would recommend that you start. He says, there are forces at work that if they know that you know of Hecaton's absence, would most certainly seek you out, and they are not to be trifled with.
Point taken.
What do you know of the history of giants?
We know there's some order, with storm giants being at the top.
That was put in place by their gods.
And that puts all the other giants in their place.
And their god pantheon is made up of one dude and his kids.
Their god pantheon or Hecaton himself?
I think both.
Okay.
He says, long ago, giants ruled over most of Faerun, and especially across most of the Sword Coast. But they had a rivalry with another ancient species. Namely,
dragons!
He says, I have it on good authority that dragons are behind this.
Oh, no. I thought we just... Didn't somebody just kill all the dragons?
Yeah. Didn't some, like, very handsome dwarves...
Yes.
Kill and knowledgeable. All the dragons.
Might be a bit more knowledgeable than you in the mage department, huh?
He says, to be clear, this smells like the plot of one dragon.
This is a very meticulously good planning dragon.
That's what dragons are known for.
He says,
oh.
That is what dragons are known for. He says, well said, Aspen. Yeah. Well said. He says, unfortunately, I do not know where King Hecaton is, nor can I confirm which dragon is behind his absence.
You sound like you have a suspicion, though.
I have a suspicion of a great number of things.
His entire family's missing, right?
No.
No, the Hecaton guy?
Just him.
Just him?
Yeah, okay. All his kids are squabbling.
All three kids and the wife?
He says, currently his daughter is serving as regent.
Which one?
Sarissa.
And then the wife is like in deep mourning or something.
At the moment, I cannot prove, directly or indirectly, that that dragon is responsible. But the information that we have leads me to believe so. But I can do two things to help you.
We'll take anything we can get at this point.
He says, the first is this. And he holds up a rolled piece of parchment, and he hands it towards the group.
I reach out.
You reach out?
Yeah.
Okay.
This is a summons. Oh, wow, this has been really elaborate. Are you a dragon?
unroll it, and it looks like this.
A map? A
bunch of symbols and circles and connected stuff.
Is this a keep?
No, it looks like a teleportation thing.
He says, I would like to recruit you. What we need is information. And if you are willing to follow these loose threads to find King Hecaton, to find out who is behind his absence, then you may make use of that.
I say, well, of course. And
you turn it around up and down, sideways. He says, what you are looking at is a map of our teleport circle network.
Oh.
He says, by now, if you haven't guessed, you are currently in the home of the Harpers.
Do you know what the Harpers are?
Is that a known thing?
Yeah, you've heard of the Harpers.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
I've heard that if they want you to know, then they... Okay.
Yeah, they're kind of...
open secret of some type. in some circles.
I say, teleport network sounds like a very good thing.
You look back over it again, and looking back over it, you see the following cities on there. Waterdeep, Neverwinter, Mirabar, Everlund, Loudwater, and Yartar.
I hear they have great sauce there.
Yartar sauce?
He says, using that teleportation system will enable you to travel more easily throughout the north. At every one of those locations is a Harper agent. And if you agree to help me, then you may make use of it.
Agreed.
This is excellent.
Just to have access to this would be amazing.
And now, as I said, we don't have much information, but I do know someone who can help you. I think he will be of a great deal of help, if you will follow me. So he takes you guys out of the solar, walks you down through a spiral staircase and through a few hallways, and then out into this garden on the back side of the tower. And you see, sitting out in the garden, the back side of the tower, this guy.
This giant?
That guy right there.
Whoa. On the front of the player's handbook.
Yep.
That giant. Like,
crap.
Okay, do we notice it's even a person at first, or are we just like, you say...
That's a great statue.
It's a frost giant.
It's a mound of stuff.
I grabbed Jador's hand.
He's a frost giant, and he's sitting there in the garden. And as soon as Jador sees him, Jador goes,
Giant!
Easy, buddy.
Giant not good.
Well, this one might be helping us, so he might be okay.
And you see the giant stands up. And he sees Jador immediately, and he says something in giant to Jador. You can feel his muscles untense a little. He still feels like he's at the ready, but you can feel like they relax a little bit. And he turns and he looks at you and he says,
I'm Harshnag. I'm called Harshnag the Grim. Unlike the rest of my kin, I have fought alongside the small folk for over 100 years. And I wish to see the Ording restored.
What alignment are frost giants?
Frost giants tend to be neutral evil.
I'm a friend of the small folk, and I'm like, really?
So Val Haro steps forward and he says, Harshnag served on Force Grey in Waterdeep.
What? I have a lot of questions about everything I just heard.
Yeah. He says, none of you have heard of Force Grey? It was a fairly notorious adventure company, mainly because of their ability to destroy things. But they came to the city's defense on more than one occasion. If it had not been for Force Grey, there are numerous occasions in which Waterdeep would have been destroyed. Harshnag is a good soul, and he will be a very good ally.
So when you say good soul, I look up at him again, and I think about, you know, him, like, the frost giants I saw, like, chewing legs off and stuff at Bryn Shander.
Harshnag looks at all of you and he says, it is my aim to protect the North from the evil giants that now roam it, and to restore the Ording. And I intend to find the king.
I say, okay. And I just kind of look at you guys like...
You hear Jador go,
Giant, not good.
Can I roll an
Then Harshnag looks at him and goes,
I understand your hesitation. I am willing to earn your trust.
Valharo says, he would be a very powerful ally.
I say, inside.
I rolled a 22 insight on this guy.
Okay.
I'm game, let's go.
You rolled a 22 insight?
I say, the second Sage steps out of line, you know what's going to happen. He'll smash, smash, smash.
Sometimes a storm bears fruit.
Yeah.
I've never seen it happen, but okay.
You know, like that old say.
You've heard of this, yes?
Yeah. That's what I was about to say. But you must have just been quicker.
So
fortuitous.
So Aspen, you make your insight roll, and that was a 22.
Mm-hmm.
He's telling the truth. You don't get any sense of deception from him at all. And he sees that Jador is not convinced, and so he reaches into his bag.
What? hands glowing.
Okay.
He reaches into his bag and he says, Goliath, may this convince you. And he takes something out in his hand and he throws it at the feet of Jador. And you notice that there are giant teeth.
Yeah.
And he says, these are from several of my kin whom I killed on my way here.
It's like, well, now you kill your own kin. So this is like, so you understand we're in a harsh predicament. We need help, but I look at Jador. If he steps out of line, we kill him.
Jador looks at the teeth and he looks up at the giant and he looks at the teeth again. And then he looks down at you, Eobard, and he goes,
Yes.
Yeah, I hold up my hand, like, for a high five.
Valharo says, well, I suppose that it went about as good as it could. From here, Harshneg can guide you. Please make use of our network if you need to.
Question. Is it gonna be weird when we teleport into one of these towns with a frost giant?
He kind of looks around the circle at all of you and he says, I believe you are clever enough to make that work. And at least one of you is fairly skilled in deception.
This isn't a frost giant. It's a pinata for the town.
Yeah. I lean over to Calic and be like, just don't take that too hard. Just let it wash over you.
Huh?
I think you're totally trustworthy.
He says, you can use the teleportation network to send information. Simply give it to the protector of the circle, and he will ensure that I receive it. Now, there's a great deal of business that I must attend to. So, and he looks at Harshneg and he says, go in peace, friend, and may you be successful. Harshneg says, and may you live long, friend.
And also prosper.
And Haro turns and looks at the rest of you and he says, good luck. And he walks back into the tower. In the garden, you see Harshneg sitting across from you. You see a few more of those tressums.
Okay, I walk up to one of the tressums.
Okay. It kind of lazily opens one eye and kind of looks at you.
I say, hi. Do you want to go on an adventure?
Purr.
I have a very tall place for you to sit.
And it kind of stretches its front paws. And it kind of looks you up and down. So give me a charisma roll. If you can speak to it, you have advantage.
I got a 19.
It gets up and it kind of starts wandering around and sniffing people, and it kind of rubs up against your leg. And
everybody be nice.
You can see that it's evaluating.
Ooh, I reach into my backpack and, yeah, pull out a snack.
Offer it some jerky?
Yeah.
Okay, give me one more roll.
An 18.
All right, we'll come back to it. So Harshneg is sitting there.
I look at Harshneg and I go, so where do we go now?
He says, first, I would like to know where you have been.
Where haven't we been? Mirabar, Bryn Shander, a village outside of Bryn Shander, Silvery Moon, Luskin, where else have we been?
Waterdeep.
Miss Floating Cloud
Floating
Tower.
Cloud Tower.
Oh, yes.
You had an encounter with a cloud giant.
Yes, Zephyros.
He was great.
Zephyros? Says, I haven't seen Zephyros in years.
He's doing well.
He's fabulous.
I mean, not really doing great, considering the fact that the Lord's Alliance kind of grounded his cloud tower. They broke the
I'm not really sure
thing.
If it's the Lord's Alliance, but Dag Nabbit certainly grounded it.
Oh, yeah. They did say her name first, I guess.
She shut it down.
I'm surprised he hasn't completely lost his senses by now.
Oh, no. He's all there.
Yeah, he was very measured.
He gave us pixie dust.
I must have underestimated him. Well, that is good to hear that he is well and that he was of help. Did he happen to say where we might find Hecaton?
No, because otherwise we'd be there.
Yeah, it didn't come up.
I only remember wine.
There was a lot of it.
Invisible monster.
We talked with him, and he told us about the cloud, or not the cloud giant, but the giant court, and he told us about the drama going on in court, and he said something about dark magics at the court, but he didn't really say anything more about it. I guess we were all kind of drunk at that point.
He says, what I have told Valharo is that I think perhaps it's time we consult a higher power.
Are you about to proselytize?
Just Jesus.
He says, I know of a location of a mountain temple in the spine of the world that we refer to as the Eye of the Allfather. According to our legends, the temple contains a divine oracle. I could lead us to that temple, and if the oracle in fact exists, we could consult it. Perhaps it would know.
That is the best lead we have at the moment.
Ah, but I do remember Zephyros telling us that the Allfather hasn't talked to the Storm King in ages.
Question.
Zephyros didn't mention that.
Is this guy big enough to carry these two?
Dice.
I'm just thinking, those exhaustion checks up the mountain the first time did not go very good.
He says, I am not a beast of burden.
I wasn't asking you to be a beast of burden. I was asking you to be a pal.
Yeah, I just want to ride you.
He says,
also, I need to steer you with these hooks on your cheeks.
He says, awful evil. But I do know many ways up into the mountains. Mm. Some less treacherous than others.
That's good, because, I mean, I like Chitor's like my best friend, but he kind of took us the roundabout way.
Yeah.
There were some cliffs and stuff. We almost
He looks
lost
over
some
at
people.
Jador and he says,
"Bash me on
he
the
says something in giant, and you see Jador kind of his eyes narrow and he goes,
"Yeah."
And he says something else in giant and he looks back at you and he says, "Interesting."
What'd you say to him? Don't make him mad.
I simply asked if he had taken him to if he had taken all of you up the old stairs and to his village. There are a few Goliath villages left, I'm afraid. His is one of the few. I know where the temple is, and I am willing to take you.
Okay, where's the temple?
Sure, let's go.
Yeah.
He says, perhaps we could use Valharo's network to get us at least part of the way there.
At least a mirror bar.
Very well. I will take you to the Eye of the Allfather, and perhaps the Oracle can show us what to do. Okay, so one of the Tressums that you were trying to befriend comes up next to you as you guys are getting ready to go into the tower to the teleport circle to teleport to Mirabar and looks up at you and goes,
meow. Pet it.
Okay. And since you can speak to tiny beasts, it's asking if it can come with.
Yes. Yes, indeed you can.
Can these things take care of themselves?
I assume so. I mean, house cats are like the number one predator in the world.
Okay.
So, I assume giving them wings is just going to increase their propensity for death.
You take the teleport circle in Everland, teleports you to Mirabar, and then from Mirabar, Harshnag leads the way up into the spine of the world. And in some senses, there's a lot of deja vu. You remember it being cold, and yep, it's cold. And you remember there being snow, and yep, there's snow. Only the path that he is taking you on is mainly rock, and is sheltered for the most part either by tall trees when you're below the timberline, or once you get above the timberline, by naturally formed tunnels, because the path also works its way through ravines, thus blocking a lot of the wind. The steps of the path are cut giant size, so while Harshnag can step from one step to another, you invariably find yourselves having to scramble up each step along the way. Even Jador is finding it a bit challenging.
Fly.
As I say, mm-hmm. You can just, yeah, fly along.
I ride on Jador's shoulder, and then Simone, which is what I've named the Tressum. I imagine Simone is, like, draped over the other shoulder the way that cats do on couches.
It takes about 4 days of hiking up the spine of the world along this path. Until finally, you come across this natural land bridge. The ravine that you've been following opens up. And you see this natural land bridge crossing this huge crevice that goes down into darkness. The land bridge or causeway is about 40 feet wide. Sheer cliffs plunge hundreds of feet on both sides of it. The causeway is covered with a foot of snow, in which you see fresh tracks headed towards the mountainside. And at the other side of the land bridge, you see a domed entrance. 6 30-foot-tall stone pillars support the dome, which is in no danger of collapse. Each pillar is carved with a wraparound bas-relief. But from this distance, it is difficult to see what those reliefs are.
How big are the steps?
The footprints?
The footprints, yeah.
They look to be human size. You can give me a wisdom survival check.
23.
You count 8 human tracks. And you notice that, based upon the footprints, that they are wearing hide boots.
I relay this to you.
That there's human feet?
There was 8 distinct human footsteps.
And the trail, the tracks lead directly into the dome.
This is a temple, right? Or an what would you call it?
Harshneg described it as an ancient temple of his ancestors. And based upon the scale that you're looking at, it makes sense.
Yeah, I say to Harshneg, humans come here often?
He says, no, humans shouldn't know about this place. Few giants even do.
And is he aware? Is he there looking at the tracks with us? Well, I feel very unintimidated. Well, then let's go ask them why they're here.
Okay. All right, as you make your way closer to the domed entrance, you're able to make out the bas-reliefs on the pillars. The first is a hill giant lifting a rock above its head. The second is a frost giant chopping down a great pine. The third is a cloud giant flying among birds in the sky. On the other side, the fourth is a flying storm giant hurling lightning bolts at a ship. The fifth is a stone giant climbing a mountain. And the sixth is a fire giant with chained dwarf prisoners in a cavern. At the back of the dome, a 60-foot-wide, 60-foot-high hallway leads into the mountain. Wind has blown the snow far into the hallway, and the tracks of the humans continue inside.
We should go.
Yeah, at the same time, I kind of pat my shoulder and say, go look into it.
Okay. So Malphus flies in and says, they're trying to get through the door.
And then I look through his eyes. Do I see a group?
You do. You do see a group of barbarians trying to force open this ice-covered door that is at the end of a long hallway and at the top of a flight of stairs.
Then this must be a large door.
Yes. Okay. It looks nearly comical in terms of scale. You know, the door is 60 feet tall, so it'd be like you standing in front of a 60-foot-tall door and trying to push it open.
Six-story building.
Yeah. And just push it open.
Yeah.
And Malphus is laughing.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe I'm a little bit too.
Stupid human.
How many of them?
Malphus sees a total of 8 humans and what looks to be like a white dragon wormling.
Ooh. These little guys are trying to open this huge door. They got a pet little wormling.
And Harshnag says, what?
I say, oh. I guess I'm sitting there with my head tilted back and my eyes all milked out. And I'm going, there's 8 barbarians. And they have a little pet, little pet dragon. This could be your pet.
What color?
It's white.
Oh, I like blue.
Okay, sorry.
Harshnag says, they have no place here.
I said, they're not making much leeway on this door. If it makes you feel any better.
Because I would be surprised if they did.
Well, would you like to go talk to them?
Yes, let's.
Well, lead the way. I suggest you lead the way.
And you've noticed that this entire time, Jadur, although he has been well-behaved, has never at any point stood with his back towards Harshnag or slept or otherwise let Harshnag out of his sight unless Harshnag was already asleep. And so as Harshnag kind of takes the lead, you see Jadur kind of pick up his pace a little bit too. I'm letting this guy out of my sight.
Oh, my speed just picked up.
As you pass under the pillars, you enter into a hallway And you notice that the snow continues for about 100 feet. And this hallway is 60 feet wide and 60 feet high. Perfectly level. What's everyone's passive perception scores?
Not very good.
14.
14
and 18?
That's what it says.
You always have the highest passive perception.
You both notice gaps in the ceiling, suggesting the presence of two hanging blocks of stone.
Can I roll an investigate check?
Yeah. Actually, just give me a perception check.
Oh, just a perception? Okay.
They seem trappy.
That's 21.
You look up and you see that each block, looking up into the holes, you can see that each block is 40 foot tall and 60 feet wide and 20 feet thick.
Mm.
It is a slab of solid rock.
Can I see by what mechanism?
First, so this is above us walking down this hallway, right?
Right.
But we see their tracks going through this whole area, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm. And Harshnag has walked right by. You can't see what mechanism would...
He would have set off the trap, right?
I would think so.
And the humans would have set off the trap.
I would think so. I guess just walk where they walk.
And just go, oh, look at those giant stone blocks. Sure would suck if those fell on you.
You continue to make your way down the hallway. The ceiling in this hallway is 80 feet high, sloping down to 60 feet as it moves back towards the entrance that you have come from. Overlooking the hall to the north and south are unguarded 30-foot-high ledges that have no railings or battlements. Five niches are carved into the back wall of each ledge, and it seems that they are holding some kind of iron sconce that radiates a faint aura.
Just like light?
Well, there's no light coming from them at the moment, but there is kind of this faint, sparkly glow to each of the sconces. And it's the same on either side of the hallway.
A door with a sconce in between each door.
Right. And the sconce is carved into a niche.
Okay. These look like human size?
No, none of this is human size.
Okay.
Not close. This is all very much giant size.
Okay. These ledges go on and on? Or there was just one part where we saw these two ledges?
The ledges are 200 feet long.
Okay.
Each. To give you an idea how long the hallway is 280 feet in length.
Okay. So there's a ledge running most of the length of the hallway on each side.
Right.
Okay.
As you guys are walking in the hallway, you can hear grunts and groans echoing from the barbarians trying to get through the door. They aren't surprised, though, simply mm-hmm. because Harshnag is not attempting in any way to be stealthy. And upon seeing Harshnag, they stop immediately and charge. Everybody, roll initiative.
And the hallway just ended at that door?
Hallway, yeah, there's a steps that go up
ooh,
20 feet from the hallway floor to these doors. Okay, what did everyone get?
21? No, 22?
21 for Aobard. Nicely 22. Done.
22.
Nicely done.
8.
8 for Kallik. He's gonna watch the show for a bit.
I got 6.
Okay. Aobard, you apparently have reacted with lightning reflexes. You see them...
Yeah, I guess I've been watching the whole time.
You've been watching the whole time.
I'm walking through the hallway, I'm just like seeing this downward.
And you see them see Harshnag start to approach, and they stop pushing on the wall, and they draw their weapons, and they're going to go for it. So, what would you like to do?
I hypnotic pattern. A 30-foot cube...
Just bleep.
Yeah, it just goes...
Well, they're all headed down the steps to Harshnag.
Yep. So the number of them that it hits have to make a wisdom saving throw. He gets a 16.
On a failed save, the creature becomes charmed for the duration while charmed by the spell. It is incapacitated and speed has 0. Essentially the same stunt you pulled earlier.
Yep, that is the thing. Kind of go...
Okay, that one makes it... Oh, auto miss. Okay, one is standing there, mouth agape, drooling. The next one. Failed that one. Oh, success. That's a fail. Okay, almost done. Because of how they're running down the steps, I'm essentially forcing all of them to roll.
Cool. I caught them just right at the bottleneck moment.
I just don't see how they could avoid it, mm-hmm. realistically. Because, you know, they turned and charged, right? So they'd be charging down the steps right into this hypnotic pattern.
Well, how wide is the hallway? 60 feet wide?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it takes 50% of the hallway at least.
Exactly. And most of these are charmed. This is going to be...
That's good use of 50% of my spell slots.
Good work, bud.
Thank you.
But not the dragon. Wormling. Okay, so we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5... So 6 of the 8 opponents is charmed.
Sweet! They're so screwed.
Yeah, that's good. That's what, 10 rounds?
Mm-hmm.
Unless they get hit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bravo, great. Great play there.
Shit, it's concentration. Okay.
Yep, you gotta hang out, man.
Mm-hmm.
Alright, well, the shaman that is with them did pass the wisdom check. It casts Hex on Harshnag.
Ooh.
Sounds about right for a shaman.
Harshnag is hexed. That guy's charmed and running down the thing. He was just like, it's Jador's turn. And Jador decides to ready himself. He is not sure exactly what's going to unfold here as Harshnag has unslung his giant-sized great hex. Jador wants to keep his
options open. Where's that wormling?
Up on the steps.
Okay.
It got a very low initiative roll, but it passed its wisdom check.
Okay.
So you have the shaman wasn't charmed, one of the barbarians wasn't charmed, and the wormling wasn't charmed. Everyone else was charmed.
So where's like Harshnag, and then like...
Harshnag is within engaged range with all of them.
So then where's Jador?
Jador is at short range to them. I would say that you are all around 60, 70 feet.
Okay.
Harshnag. He steps in here, and seeing that they are going to attack, he swings his great axe at the nearest barbarian, which happens to be the shaman.
Oh, that's good.
And hits once. Hits twice. Ouch. And just chops her in half.
Yeah.
On the first swing. Kallik, what do you want to do, man?
Well, the shaman's dead. So I begin running to the wormling, 45 feet.
Make your way to the wormling. Got it.
Then I ready to attack, should I be attacked.
Okay, got it.
So you kind of run through this group of... So the shaman... is right up
chopped.
On the front. The front one got chopped.
Mm-hmm.
The other one ran up. Or he hasn't gotten it to the other uncharmed one right yet.
Yeah, the other charmed one it was running down the steps. So is just at the bottom of the steps along with the wormling. The rest are all standing on the steps or up by the door, just kind of dazed.
Okay.
Because they are hypnotically entranced. And the shaman is now dead, actually, in half.
Gross.
Aspen. What would you like to do?
I would like to get within 60 feet of the non-charmed barbarian.
Okay.
And then I would like to cast Phantasmal Force.
Phantasmal Force?
It's my new spell that I just got.
Look at you.
It says you craft an illusion that takes root in the mind of a creature that you can see within range. While a creature is affected by the spell, they treat it as if it's real, can even take damage from an illusion. So he has to make a intelligence saving throw against 15.
No, he got a 2.
Okay, so he perceives that he is in the middle of a bramble bush that is encasing his entire body.
Thank you for listening to Heroes Not Included. Don't miss an episode. Subscribe today with your favorite podcast app. If you enjoyed this episode, please be sure to rate and review us. We'd love to hear from you. Find all of our episodes on our website at heroesnotincluded.com. You can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/heroesnotincluded. And finally, our podcast is supported by Tevye Schmidt, Chris Gergich, and Josh Heddle, along with all of our awesome patrons. Our patrons not only help us keep the lights on, but they also gain special behind-the-screen access, including patron-only podcasts, videos, and more. To become a patron, visit our Patreon page at patreon.com/heroesnotincluded. Until next week, be the hero.